special budget.
Okay. Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. We'll start with the pledge. We got our flag right there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
I have to return their stapler upstairs, but I think that's...
Take it. They got extras.
I don't want to take it. That's stealing office supplies. I'll bring it back
if you leave it here.
When I was in college, I stole Jim Boeheim's stapler off of his desk in the basketball office. I still got it at home. I got Jim Boeheim's stapler.
Okay, so you...
I recommend the cookies to you.
And that's on the record.
Excellent.
All right. Do I have a motion on the minutes, approving the minutes?
I move.
Second.
Any questions? They look fine to me. All in favor? Aye.
Sorry.
Opposed? Carried. 5-0. Oh, sorry, Mr. Black. Okay, resolution. We have one resolution, which it's authorizing a six-month extension for reporting to Tulsa County Legislature the findings of the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission. Yeah, Legislator Bartels, if you'd speak first.
Are you going to move it first?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'll move it.
Legislator Heppner seconds.
Okay, so we have, as you know, a fairly large committee, and we've been meeting regularly, sometimes as many as 2 to 3 times a month, and we are getting very close, but we missed the deadline. We were going to just continue to work and submit it when it was done, which was expected to be in the next month, but I called Ken Rung and talked to him about it just because it occurred to me that, one, we plan to have public hearings and we need legislative support to do that, and we also want to be by the books and just and fair. So our aim as a committee, because everyone is getting a little fatigued, really is to move in an expeditious manner as if we didn't have the extension, and ideally, realistically, it'll be we'll be finished by the end of the year. It's just with the holiday schedule, and this way it'll give us enough time to have the public hearings.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have everybody's support. We're all volunteers in this.
Yeah. Any questions? Anybody else? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. All right, resolution. I just put one in that it's not for this month, but it's in the just something to think about maybe for the next month or two. And Legislator Green, I know it's not geared towards you at all. I just want you to know this. But it's just of the vehicle stations. I think when we got the numbers, there were quite a few of the addresses and zip codes our county employees using the charging stations all day while they're working in the buildings. So this
doesn't the policy, if I could just jump in, doesn't the policy, if I recall, as it was amended, doesn't it have a time limit? Like, maybe we can get a look at the policy again for next meeting. Or it's in here, I guess. I thought that there was a maximum amount of time when you say they're in the middle of the day. Says no person shall stop, stand, or park a vehicle. Oh, so the electric vehicle, okay. Other than an electric vehicle for more than 2 hours. Okay.
Just something to think about.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for anything this month. But the zip codes of some of the biggest users, were employees who were there all day.
And this, you're again not talking about. This amendment is not geared toward county vehicles.
No, not at all.
You're talking about personal vehicles?
Personal vehicles. That's in there. Yeah, no, the county vehicles.
Apparently that's one of the things they're going to feature in the National Vehicle.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, anybody has any questions, they can let me know.
Just FYI, Mr. Hine did mention all the green initiatives at the county and did credit the legislature with their success at getting them done.
Cool.
And I also want to make sure you all saw that they're having a public hearing on Yashokan part of the trail December 1st. You all want
yes.
to... Yes.
That's December 1st. It's a Monday night, right?
Yeah. Want to save the date kind of a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it'll be well attended.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to go home.
Richard, question on this for a second. Mm-hmm. It's a charging station. Is there a... Is there something we can do with a time frame? I mean, if we're talking about county employees, it's like a, you know, like a parking meter. If you go in and your employee, and you can charge for say 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely get you to where you need to go and back.
Right. Or I was if we do, my issue is the money was given to us by the business community, the Chamber of Commerce. And what percentage of it is being used for people who are in the county building all day or the county facilities all day eating up that money? It's for tourism and people that, you know, are visiting the county or county residents that aren't being paid by the county. So that's basically, I mean, so you could make, if it takes, what's, let's say, Green, 2 hours to fully charge the vehicles on average?
It takes mine. It depends on...
The size.
Your batteries. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even an hour charge then for
yeah, that's all. So, listen, I just.
It's just something to throw. I'm just throwing it out there
yeah.
just as discussion. I mean.
But what happens when that money? What happens when that money is used up?
You know, we start charging people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there a finite?
What?
I mean, is there a finite number?
I just thought it was $1,000 we got. Isn't that what we got? That's sort of right?
Yeah, and the actual usage was about half. And from what I know, there are only 3 county employees that use this. And I don't know what the ratio is, but
I know the ZIFs.
That would be interesting to find out. I just want to be clear that I would gladly...
No, I know, and you've...
I know it's not personal, but I just want to say, and I expect the other people would too. The problem is that, from what I understand, in order to... set up a system where we can pay.
Hey, it costs
right
more now, money to it, pay the company
right.
than it
and
does to...
And that doesn't make sense if it's going to cost
agree.
The county more money.
But when that $1,000 is gone, then I'm sure there'll be other avenues to get the money maybe donated.
Would this extend, so like I know, would this extend to county-owned charging stations throughout the county? So like here at the community college?
Yeah. Yeah, to me, you know, I don't know. Just... In my opinion, if the county's putting a service out to the community, in my opinion, and if we have $1,000, so there's a finite amount of money and resources we can give away, it shouldn't be used on people who are here for work. It should be used by people who are here visiting, live in a community, or whatever. It shouldn't the money and the resources shouldn't be used, in my opinion, again, by people that are here. And if you look at the zip codes, New Paltz, Red Hook.
And let me ask you a question, just again to throw it out, because as you're thinking it through, because I know it's not you're not rushing it through.
Yeah, no.
What and to be devil's advocate for a moment, what happens for a county employee who's not doing a county function? So say a county employee is not at the county building,
I get it.
But if goes to a different building where there is a county charging station to
class
attend
Sophie
a class Finn. Or to, you know, to go see production or to something that's not county business.
Listen, in my opinion, if somebody after work went across the street to have dinner,
right,
then it's okay.
Example,
then it'd be fine to plug
up.
Then it'd be fine to plug there. But if they're there sitting there for 8 hours a day and they're plugged in while they're there, I just don't think it's right.
So is the biggest problem, to Ron's point, is the biggest problem the long-term parking there?
I don't think it's a problem right now because I don't think a lot of people are using it.
Right.
You know, if there were cars in line, I think it'd be a unanimous vote tonight to say, listen, we're not going to have an employee charging it when there's 4 cars that can't get to the station.
Right.
So that's not happening right now. And it probably, hopefully it'll happen someday. We'll get enough people using it, but I don't see that on the radar. But my question is, and I can't answer this, but what happens when $1,000 is gone? Does the county then start charging? We can't use taxpayer money to do it because then we would fill up everybody's gas tanks going to work every morning or going anywhere. I mean, there's really no difference.
I don't think you'd have much of a choice. The county would have to charge, correct?
You would think so if they
had somebody else is going to help.
We weren't charging for it before they got the $1,000 donation.
Yeah, we weren't charging.
But they were going to get in trouble with that. That's why the chambers. That's why.
Well, we went through that loophole. Yeah. I don't remember a while back.
Trace, if they were going to pay for the public's gas to travel to work in the morning, mm-hmm. wouldn't that get beaten?
No, it would. I mean, I think it raises interesting questions. I am just not, and I read the. I mean, I read the opinion in terms of the gifting to that point when we were paying for it, and then heard and read some opinions to the contrary. I think B wrote an opinion, and some, you know, and Chris wrote an, I don't know if he wrote an opinion or Kathy wrote an opinion, but so I remember reading a bunch of stuff on that. But I think that there are examples where different, and I don't know how you figure it out. Like, for example, employees can go to this college for free, right?
$50 a class.
So that's ostensibly free. It's $50 a class. It's much less than the general public.
Sure.
And that includes us.
Sure.
We can take courses.
I've taken coaching classes here and paid $50.
Yeah, you could become a nurse for $50 a class
right.
here.
Right.
And that's a that is it. Now, if I chose to take that benefit and you chose not to, we're getting a disproportionate one. We're getting disproportionate benefit, and also I'm getting a benefit that the public at large isn't getting by the nature of my employment. Same as if Fawn chose to a different kind of employee, a non-elected employee. So, I don't
know. That would be contractual, though. There's contracts here that allow that to happen.
Right.
It's not just somebody comes in off the street and works for a week and gets a tuition waiver. There's mm-hmm. a contract that makes stipulations in that, so it's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And does it increase the cost for everybody else? I don't know.
I would assume. I mean, because classes have real cost.
Does a professor get paid by the number of students in his or her class?
I mean, if anything, it would take a spot away from a full paying. It could possibly right. take a spot. I mean, that's
sure,
the only
sure.
thing I could say.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I think we should think through, and we should ask that question about the $1,000.
Yeah,
what's going to happen when the money runs out? I think is a good question. Is it the position right now that we fund it from within? Because there's certainly some people who think we can't fund it from within.
Right.
I get that.
I think, in my opinion, the county went out to find outside funding because they knew they would not have won. It would have been defeated if the county was paying for it, because then we should pass a resolution, let's pay everybody's gas to go to work every morning. There's no difference.
Well, we stop the highway department and gas up.
Yeah, right. Let's also let everybody stop at the highway department and gas up. What's the difference? Even though one is pennies and the other one's
right.
dollars, it's and one, there's millions of cars, the other one is, you know, hundreds of cars.
And there is such a positive benefit to this. I mean, as was just recently raised, I mean, the idea that one, this is one of the things being highlighted in National Geographic magazine, of all things, and that I think we are on the cusp of the future with this. I do think as these cars were not the kind of car, the hybrid electric, the older models can drive on electric alone only for 8, 9, 10 miles. New all-electric vehicles can go 100 miles on a charge, and you can buy them and Teslas are fancy, but you can buy a Ford for $22,000 all-electric, and then my neighbor got one after his rebates for under $13,000, and it's all-electric, you know, so it's becoming affordable, it's becoming something that makes sense to people, mm-hmm. they're less scared of their batteries. What's going to happen to the batteries?
But can't you just plug in at your house?
Yes, you
so
can.
If you're going to work every day, you should plug in at your house, and you shouldn't have to plug in at work.
Yeah, especially with the 100-mile ones. But the point is, it's always a little, you know. In theory, someone could be coming from Brooklyn to go to work.
I'm talking about employees now. I'm not talking
yeah.
about somebody else. No
yeah.
employees travel more than 25 miles
no,
to get
but
here.
But maybe there could be a million reasons why your charge is very low. You forgot to charge, or who knows, or you just want to make sure you're covered.
Right.
Okay.
So I think let's find out about the money as well.
See what I can find out about that question. I'll see what I can find out.
For non-employees, how much does it cost to park in during work hours?
It does.
It was
25 cents.
Oh, it's not even.
The parking, yeah.
But not on weekends.
No. It just doing work.
It wasn't. It was pennies an hour. And if
for the parking,
it's like $2 all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
I was just curious what 50
cents an hour.
A max of like.
So they would be charged for parking in the lot.
I mean, because I always see the lot's full. Is it all employees that park there anyway during the day?
In the back, they do. In the down below, they do.
There's a parking area in the back that's employees only, and the one across the street next to.
I've gone during the day, and it's been full.
To Santa Fe. But the parking lot right behind the building, generally employees are not parking.
Is there a charging station in that back lot, or are they operated by this?
No.
I mean, that would cover
the public
employees
lot.
Can't park there.
Well, I mean, they can park there, but they'd have to pay for parking like anybody else.
Employees have to pay for parking if they park in that immediate back lot?
If they parked in there, they're supposed to pay for parking.
I think it's like $20 a month or something. I think it's reasonable.
They don't pay full year or something? Like, I've talked to county employees that they pay, like, half a year.
I think some of them...
Those employees maybe park in the church parking lot.
Yeah, something like
that. The church parking lot does allow people to park there, and because the county has... some employees get 6 months in a lot and then 6 months off.
You have to find your own for a few months, then you get the county for a few months.
Yeah. So what a lot of them do is they share a spot in the church parking lot. So when... Like, if I was sharing it with you, when I'm parking in the county parking lot, you park in the church, and when I'm parking at the church, you park in the county. Yeah. And that way, we always have a place to park.
You have a dedicated time to hold?
Yes. And when they have different colored tags. Blue tags are year-round, and then there's the other ones, are different colors.
Wow.
And your swipe card to get into that lot only works when you are...
So clearly, Kingston needs a parking garage,
and that's
a multi-level.
That's why the chairman, for a long time, has been giving away his parking spot,
right?
Because the chairman's spot would sit empty all day, mm-hmm. So he gives it to an employee every two. At first, John did it. Now Ken does it, mm-hmm. And then some employees walk quite a distance. You'll see them walking. They park, on the street, sometimes two or three blocks away, and walk back and forth. All of the legislative employees, because we're there at such odd hours and whatnot, we all have year-round parking in our office right now.
Wow.
So
I didn't even know.
I
think
cool. All right, we could go past this, but anybody questions, we can.
And Fawn's going to try to get that.
I'll try to find out what happens to that.
Any new business?
Can I bring up? I think it's new business. Can we ask? Do you remember in the old days we would get? This is Rich is the only one who was probably there then, but we would get monthly reports from the RRA.
I was thinking about that last month too,
and a lot of detail. And I feel like that would be helpful again. I know Tim comes sometimes. In fact, often. But
and we told Tim he didn't have to come tonight, because he's been here the last 4 months.
Yeah, that's fine, but he doesn't...
5 months,
even when he comes,
months.
He doesn't bring those reports. I think those reports would be helpful. I know they're probably sent to the legislature, but
maybe you get
not.
Them or not. You want me to call him and ask him?
I can. Okay. I talk to Tim pretty regularly. Yeah. I know we get their minutes from their meeting, so I'll have to see if they're attached to that or... Because
it's just a tonnage.
We just got tonnage
year to date.
We just had to get the tonnage for the auditors.
Yeah.
So I know we weren't. I know we
He's
used to get them.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
So he gave them to us for like a big span of time. But I think.
I just think it would be. Since it's something we have oversight of. The other thing is, soil and water. Maybe we could think about not right now, but we could think about when to invite Gary to the meeting in the next. In the first quarter of the year, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see what works with their schedule.
I know, it's November already. Crazy.
Just again to have an update. And the other new
thing. They did a really good thing with that
strainer. Yeah, they did a really good job. And the other thing is Recycling Oversight Committee, which has been vacant since Matt and I served on it, which I feel now is probably 6 years ago. It's required that it be filled.
Okay.
We're in breach as a legislature. We have the appointments. So, bless you. I think maybe Fawn can pull up again the because the members are broken down, you know, there's an at-large member, mm-hmm. member, you know, there's different breakdown of members, but I think we need to get that appointed again, and that would, the recommendations would come probably through this committee to the chair, so I would suggest we do that too.
I'll look at how they get appointed and who does that. We're, as an aside, working on a program right now that they will be unveiling very shortly that's going to have all of the committees and all of the appointments online. So people that are just interested in maybe serving on, in some capacity could go on and look like what the committees are, how people get appointed, when terms are up. You know,
that would be good for the public as well. And that's one other new business. Solemn Water Board, right now Jim, DeLon, and myself are members. We were appointed to a 2-year term. That's an error. It's a 1-year term by, you know, legislative mandate. So we're going to need to do another appointment at the end of the year. I don't know if anyone wants to canvass, if there's anyone else. I've been doing it a long time. If someone else wants to do it, you know,
you do a great job.
Good. So, again, we can put that out. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's probably
just continuing with appointments, just thinking ahead, weren't we facing vacancies on the resource?
That's what I was going to bring up.
Coming up at the year's turn, so just thinking, I don't know if we're going to go through the same
process. Is there one or two? I don't know how many are up.
Dave Gordon up?
I don't know who's up. I think there's two up. Because how many members are there? Five? So it's 2, 2, and 1. And last year we had 2. Last year we had 3, but one was to fill an unexpired term. So last year was 2, so it's 2, 2, 1. So it's either 1 or 2. Something tells me it's 2.
It's telling me it's 1, but I...
Well, we had had
it could be Charlie.
That we all supported in the new year. There's still...
It definitely has to be Dave, because he hasn't been up in a long time.
And it's... What, how long a term is it?
3 years, right?
Yeah,
3-year terms.
I don't... I honestly
don't
remember.
Have
Do you mind if we look at follow that?
Nope.
Are you looking online right now?
I was trying to look online right now, but I've made a note here to look.
It just seemed like the chairman Chairman Rong seemed to indicate it was a position that would be actually vacated.
I think it might be 1.
It's definitely 1.
Yeah.
There's at least 1 a year.
He would support Lisa Mitten.
Yeah, at least we had decided as a committee, not officially, but
right. So we'll.
If she's not still interested.
Right, I'm sure.
It would be great if we have a similar process as we did last time, but we need some time to plan on.
I'm looking for. Oh, board, here we go. Let's see if it's got. Here we go. Fred Wadnola's term is up in 17, David Gordon, 16, Charles Landy, 16. Jack Hayes, 18, and Brian Devine, 18.
Yep.
So it's David Gordon and Charles Landy.
Do we know if they want to...
I don't think anyone's talked to them about it.
Do you want me to ask?
Yeah.
Ken, if he wants to send them each a letter?
Yeah.
See what they're
I talk to Dave Gordon sometimes, so I can call Dave, too.
Do you know Dave? I don't really know Dave. Yeah, so next year will be just 1, Wadnola. Because Jack and Brian were last year. 17. Oh, they're 2-year terms. 16, 17. No, 3 years. They're 3 years. All right, well, that settles that. We know what we got. So we got 2.
Okay.
All right, that's good. Yeah, we definitely got to move it. I mean, the only good thing is they're there until, if there is a replacement, so it's not like it's a vacancy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be done we don't have to rush and do it in 2 weeks or anything.
But it's good to be ahead of it.
No. Yeah, actually...
Since we know it's not a change in term for us, so...
Yeah.
Right.
The nice
thing
about this program, too, is it's going to tell us, give us notice that these seats are coming open, mm-hmm. you know.
That's great.
Generate contact with the people to see if they want to remain. It does a lot of that for us automatically.
Okay.
So.
Cool. All right.
Mary's been working on that.
Plastic bag.
Okay, so plastic bag legislation. I talked to our caucus a little bit about it. I don't know, Rich, did you talk to your caucus?
Not really. I didn't go to the last caucus.
So
I mean, I've spoken to
what I'm going to do is I will make some of the changes we talked about in the, I just have been swamped in this last month, but I'll make some of the changes we talked about, namely, the enforcement arm to weights and measures, et cetera. I'll circulate it to the committee first, and then we can circulate it to the legislature at large for feedback. I think that we should be thinking about January because the holiday, it's just tough with the budget cycle, December and the holidays. So I'm fine with January or February. We spend this next month working on it. Not as a full-time job, but I'll circulate it to everybody again in its new form shortly. And then at the next time that we meet, we can talk about changes and also get feedback from both caucuses. Because I think that's going to be critical.
Can I just have a question? Mm-hmm. So, and it might say it specifically, but I didn't see it. So, like the LuLaRoe and Tastefully Simple and those home parties, they're included or excluded?
What's LuLaRoe?
Oh, it's the leggings. You don't have to wear those leggings.
No.
Well, I don't think we're there yet. I think that's all what the committee would discuss and stuff, right?
I think, yeah, I feel...
Because I just realized I just got some Tastefully Simple and I got some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I went,
they had
an event, and they have their bags. And as I walked away with my clothes and stuff, I went like, oh. You know, I never thought, I don't know if we specifically said, like...
That's a good point.
You did say businesses in your home, but those aren't...
That's different.
...specifically businesses in your home.
They're kind of floating businesses. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
That's worth talking about.
Just clear on, you know, what
kind of like the tires.
Yeah, I mean, I said that Rich and I were talking in the moments before the
meeting.
And I think that's one of the things we need most to figure out is how far the reach is. Even if we all agree that this is a bad product and bad for the environment, should be removed. It's interesting when you look at certain models, like San Francisco began with essentially grocery stores, which extended down to small markets and convenience stores, but any store, I think they defined it as any store selling eggs and milk as well, which was, so it could be a gas station, could be a Stop and Shop, anything. But when a community like San Francisco starts just with that versus the full breadth of every mom and pop and every Macy's, Best Buy, whatever you call it, Blue Rose, whatever. I think there's some logic to that thinking. I also think that grocery stores, the big grocery stores, are the biggest capture in terms of volume of these bags for sure.
Yeah.
So we need to think about it.
Bags,
is this something we
their
roll
bags
out?
Are much thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could come into that could come into play too. Right?
Yeah. Do we roll it out like we did with polystyrene foam in a prescribed way? Do we just start with the?
Do we know yet if anybody's been violated for it?
The polystyrene foam.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I just talked to Amanda today, and she said that they're sending over a list of violators to health department to send a round of letters out. That they had very. She said they had excellent.
Still, yeah.
She said they had excellent. She's not doing the compliance, but she anecdotally she said they had excellent compliance at the outset, and they're seeing some drop off. But I also I asked if the next round that they do, because I recently looked at the flyer, the informational flyer, and the informational flyer does not mention the fines at all. Just says this is a law and this is what you have to do. And so
they
I said,
should.
Well, the next time you do a flyer, can you make sure you print that there are fines, because it changes
maybe
your approach
And maybe they could also put that you are able to buy them, you're just not able to use them. Because in the establishment that I talked to, he goes, I can still buy it.
Right.
And that's his justification for still using it.
Right.
And people are starting
to
come to me complaining about this place.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think they're going to send, like I said, I think it'll go. Because I've seen several
I went to them before we even did and said, what do you think? And they're like, oh, we're good with that, blah, blah, blah. And They're just, you know, they're blatantly doing it now.
It's the education.
And so...
You have to call.
Yeah. Well...
Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
And also, what I notice is what I've seen people still using it is, like, chain gas stations. Because I wonder if, like, the information is actually getting up the chain. If it's just, like... being sent to the local contact, but is it getting to the manager? Is the manager even...
Wow.
But if they get a violation, then it'll... But you're right.
Yeah.
Which
but maybe it could be CC'd.
Because they're not doing the ordering. The ordering's being done out of a corporate.
No question, yeah.
I think it was Hess or something like that. Because it was like, but they had like Dunkin' Donuts inside the Hess.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts was involved from the get-go, but maybe it was more the standalone stores that the reps we were talking to. Maybe it was the New York City organization that represents.
But I imagine that they would use up their stock and,
yeah, that's true.
And just not be using.
I'm sure they have tons
of
back.
Send it
but still, the date's passed. I mean, it's not...
Also,
it's
there's
been over
one
a
material that Cumberland Farms uses in Woodstock that... I'm not, like, I feel it, and it's, like, it doesn't feel like normal styrofoam.
Right, it's that kind of plastic.
But you still can kind of, like, cut into it with
exactly
your nail, but I wasn't sure if it was styrofoam or not.
Yeah.
Or if it has, like, styrofoam,
Well, there are some
really
paper...
Weird.
Send it to the lab.
There's some paper ones, and there are some that have a polystyrene component.
Yeah.
But I recently got tricked and then found out it was allowed.
Does the law apply? Just educate me, because I should read it to know, and I keep meaning to look at it. I was at a chicken barbecue this summer, and they were using styrofoam. I mean, I bring my own Tupperware. But it was a fire department fundraiser.
They all are required.
Yep.
They're
the problem is, does anybody reach out to them? Because they're not...
Well, they didn't know anything about it.
And that's the problem is, it's a standalone.
Yeah.
If it's a one-time event or an annual event, you know, there's not, the health department's not reaching out to, doesn't know.
I mean, are we going to find
the
VFW?
Department went there
and
the health
the
department
Catholic
went there
Church
inspected
and
inspected
the,
them,
you know,
because they were selling food.
Educate.
At that point, yeah.
It's also hard because a lot of these companies, like Brooks, probably they're coming from out of county.
And a lot of times, somebody may be running the shop right to buy the cups for the thing. So it's not like they're, you know, you got
right.
a local volunteer say, hey, well, you know, I'm going to the store. What do you need? Get me paper plates and coffee cups.
Well, our fire company just had they were not going to have their dinner. So I didn't really reach out to them. I mean, I spoke to different people, the chief and stuff, but the guy that was running it, like, suddenly they were suddenly having it. So there wasn't enough time because I was going to donate and give them some information to, you know, and obviously they had some stock they had to use up. But last year I got a dinner there, and, like, somebody needs to teach them how you pack it. You don't need, like, seven containers for one takeout meal. You know, they had everything in all different, you know, a giant bag was for one person. So.
Well, apparently this fire company had the styrofoam stuff donated, and I suspect it was donated because somebody felt they couldn't use it anymore and just gave it to the fire department and wrote it off as a donation.
But it would have ended up in the garbage anyway.
Yeah, and it's a process. I mean, that's a
they would have either chucked it in their dumpster or.
Right.
You know,
I bring my own
debates
Tupperware.
Coming in,
I hate
the
styrofoam.
We were very clear that there weren't going to be the polystyrene foam greenies. So I think this, even when you see a little setback, you see it as an opportunity to educate. I don't think, you know, I think...
Well, I think it's just people just don't know so that they, you know... Because most people I talk to are happy about it.
Yeah.
Well, it started a big conversation at the barbecue I was at because they were using it. Like I say, I bring my own Tupperware things when I go to one of those barbecues because I know I'm going
to
take the leftovers home. And some people just brought, like, plastic, like Ziploc, the giant Ziploc bags, you know.
And still, you have the conversation, and so many people are still putting it in the microwave. And they're like, that's okay. And no, it's not okay. They wouldn't give it to me otherwise. Yeah, they would. You know, because there's a perceived protection. People think that they're safe from a lot of different things because the government wouldn't allow that. And it's not really true, yeah.
You know, that's as we started to research toxic toys, which will be back, but not to this committee. But that's the thing that was so shocking about it, is you just assume that lead is... not allowed to be in things that you touch or your children would put in their mouth, and then you realize nobody's testing at all. It's just
crazy.
So you think you're fine. It's, again, a perceived safety that just is not, doesn't exist.
Cool. All right.
So we're going to talk about the plastic bag next month, then.
Yes.
You're going to get us stuff.
I am. Now, next month's meeting, which I know we're ahead of, but next month's meeting, there's a chance I won't be able to make the December meeting.
Like December.
The December meeting.
Which
yeah.
is what, the 12th, 13th? 12th
like
and 13th?
Yeah, something like that. The 12th, I think.
Yeah, that's
I'll
a Monday.
I'll know in two days whether
well,
or not
let's. Can you let me know because
you also have.
I'll be.
Yeah.
We were going to move it till 6:30.
Oh, is the
yeah,
legislative programs the 12th too?
Well, they're the same night.
I'm not sure.
Every once in a while.
I think I don't see them on that night, but I'm not sure my calendar is correct here.
If
I mean, would
I know
another
we,
night?
I mean, we're talking about. Is there any other night that we could do it? The 5th? Are there meetings scheduled on the 5th? That week before?
I believe public health.
Anyone here on
the 5th?
Are you flexible moving it a week one way or the other?
If we do it,
as long as it doesn't.
Public health is at 6.
Right, right. Yeah. But I mean, another meeting would be your main conflict?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we have a special session for the budget vote on the 7th. I could do the 6th. I could do the 8th. I could do, you know, the 5th doesn't work. But
well, why don't you wait to see if the 12th works?
Yeah, I'll let you know. In 2 days, I'll know. But it's not looking like I think I'm going to be out of time.
I can just text you when I find out.
Okay.
You missed the 13th.
So we'll just keep it as it is until we hear
okay.
from. All right. And I told the legislator Bartels that somebody reached out to my father, a gentleman from Rosendale, about the plastic bag legislation. He lives in Rosendale, in New York City. He just saw the name and went to the website and saw my father's name first and assumed that. So. He spoke to my father. Dad, my father said the guy was excellent. He wasn't against it, wasn't for it, just had some issues with meats and milk, and he may even be in the business, and he thought it was a good thing, but he said just he could give us some insight. So I'll reach out to him and let him speak to Tracy and maybe invite him to the meeting, and so we'll follow up.
We had a call from a... I'm not sure if now it was a newspaper or a TV station to ask us about our plastic bag legislation.
You know what? Right. I got a phone call from him.
And I told him that we
NBC,
were just in the discussion area.
I got CNBC, I think.
That was it. It was NBC.
She called my house. I never listened to my answer machine on the house. I don't know how she got my home number because only my cell number is on the website. And I don't listen to my messages because the last 2 months my only phone calls are political phone calls. So I turn the ringer off. And I literally had one phone call, her and one other phone call that meant something after I went like 3 weeks without listening to it, and there were 27 political ones. So I figured she didn't want to talk to me after I got it, so I didn't reach back out to her.
But keep her number, because when we get closer, you
can... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'll do that. So that's... So
I kept the information just...
It was a lady, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. CNBC. Okay, so Legislator Green, do you want to give us a quick update on Climate Smart?
Yeah, the main thing we've been trying to nail down actually between Public Works and Climate Smart was to understand what is being planned regarding energy efficiency, green building, lighting, any of the things that will reduce our carbon footprint in the operating and capital budgets. And first it was going to be Public Works, then it was going to be at a presentation to Climate Smart. Anyway, Amanda did come to Public Works. We didn't confirm in time to invite the Climate Smart people, but we'll report back. Basically, it's nothing, I mean, they already reported here on the... Green Fleet is being achieved, the goal of Green Fleet is being achieved ahead of time, more charging stations. There is an RFP being developed, but they just said it's in development for additional solar on the roofs of various county buildings. And there weren't any specific things that they could point to in the either the operating budget or the capital budget, as buildings come up, they will be evaluated for either the Siemens recommendation or various sustainability recommendations, but there, I didn't get the sense that there is a distinct plan moving forward. And even in the press release that came out today, it highlights all the things that have been done. But other than meeting the Green Fleet goals ahead of schedule, and you know, and the additional charging stations, I really didn't get a sense that you know they could say, this is what we're doing in this building this coming year. So, you know, I was very glad that they came and did the report, and I acknowledge that a lot of good things have been done. But kind of reminds me of what's going on at the state level with moving toward a renewable energy economy. We don't actually have a plan. You know, there's a lot of goals and 50 right. by 30 and all of this, but there's no concrete plan. This will be in place by then, and then this, and then that. So I think, you know, we just have to keep working at it. I know that Amanda is being very rigorous, getting grants, and we passed the benchmarking. I think the benchmarking will help keep track of that. But again, it's not forward looking. It's what has been done, and so I expect we're in for some good surprises.
Have you seen the plans for Family Court?
I have. Yeah.
So those have a lot of green infrastructure.
Yes.
That they are. Planning, you know, in a big capital project.
So they could have cited that. That's what I'm talking about, is to be concrete and tangible
right.
about what is being planned. That I don't recall that being...
You know, any new municipal building being built in New York State is green. You know,
yeah.
they're green. It's not an Ulster County thing. Nobody's building a brand new municipal building nowadays and not incorporating... You know, to be as carbon neutral as possible. It's what everybody's doing. But there's no specifics, so you haven't seen what they're doing with it. You know they're going to do something with it, but...
And especially with the RFP for solar, I think, you know, there are people on the Climate Smart Committee that can really help with that.
Right.
And so we'll just keep trying to, you know, build better... collaboration.
Well, can I ask a question? Is there any like resolution or discussion we can have that we can forward that we want to have in the Family Court building to say, hey, this needs to be incorporated into it, or this is what, you know, this is what we expect, and any funding is contingent on these three or four things happening with the building, and then the Climate Smart people can work with us to give us their idea. I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, but...
I think the plans do have a lot.
Well, yeah, well, but
has a lot.
Didn't you say you didn't really, it was vague what they're going to do with the Family Court?
I think the Family Court is very specific.
Oh, okay.
I meant any other building. I mean, that they're in the, and I think that they're very clear that any new changes, they have to consider all these recommendations, and I think they are. The one thing that really could, you know, they... if they haven't established whether the roof at Family Court can hold a solar system, that's something they ought to look at while it's vacant and being renovated.
Sure.
It may be absolutely fine, but that's such a big, flat,
right.
unshaded area. It seems to me that it's a no-brainer. It's a question of whether we're going to do a power purchase agreement or how we're going to structure it. And that's all in this RFP.
But you know what? In a way, that's secondary. Having the panels up there is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because we're using renewable energy.
Yeah.
You know, the dollars and cents thing will work itself out. You know, whichever one they choose, we may...
That's
but
right.
But
I feel like they spoke to that at that meeting, and I feel like what they said was that... And I know... I mean, we looked at that in the RFP that
okay.
I authored and we put out in 2007 or whatever, somewhere around then. That was one of the buildings we looked at, and at that time it could sustain it. But I think they're thinking right now, and I'm not 100%, but I believe that they're thinking right now is that the roof couldn't sustain the life of the solar panels. So they're talking about making upgrades to the roof with the intention of putting solar panels on it. That's what I recall hearing.
Okay, so that, you know, that's something I would like to clarify. It would just be the roof at the, you know, that's a very specific building. It's a project that's underway, and I think if either this committee or my committee can get clarification that the roof structure can support a solar system, because it almost seems to me that that ought to be the very next solar system. It's a very large flat roof, and every time we put solar on big flat roofs or parking lots or brownfields or landfills, it takes the pressure off of prime farmland.
Right.
And we want to be able to support farmers and encourage them, but we also don't want to be covering up prime farmland, especially when there are lots of other places.
Right, no, definitely.
So, anyway, okay. Let me just see if there was anything else. I think there was one other thing. No, I think I covered my little
notes. Do you have it? Aren't there some more events coming up, too, for electric vehicles, or are they all done? The electric vehicle events, or are they all done?
We're having one at Woodstock, but I can't remember the date.
Electric vehicles, Solarize New York.
I think the last one, there was one very recently.
I think we're having one in Woodstock in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there will be more of them because Sustainable Hudson Valley, I think, got a grant to promote them. And I also have several climate-related emails that I've been getting that I'll try to condense into one and send to go out with
the agenda.
All right, solid waste improvement.
That's back to the previous.
Yeah, we did that. So, all right, any other business?
We're meeting on Wednesday.
Right here?
What time?
5:30.
Yeah. And then we go to the public hearing in Rochester?
Yeah.
The budget public hearings in Rochester.
Oh, on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
What time's that?
7.
I will go to that.
It's at 50 Scenic, you know.
The firehouse?
Town hall.
The town hall. Yeah.
It's very hard to even get.
Right off of Granite Road.
We never get a quorum.
Yep.
Okay. They were supposed to have quorums.
Only because I'm close to it. I'm going to be at the high school wrestling until 6:30.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Okay.
Favor?